This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Chwaba.
That's not true. Can't travel by catapult. That's just pure silliness. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. My fellow Wisconsinites, it is a pleasure to serve you on the radio tonight. So glad you could be with me on day three of me wearing a hat on the radio, Conrad. It's bizarre, but I'm cold, even though now I got a hat on and I'm in short sleeves, so I'm completely conflicted.
Yeah, that studio one just gets you every time, doesn't it?
It's brutal. We got to turn up the heat. It was better yesterday in here. I don't know if they turn the heat down because it's like not as cold outside, but I have wet hair and I cannot stand having wet hair in the cold. A little warmer today, huh?
Yeah. I didn't wear my heavy duty Packers jacket today.
You don't have your maple syrup flannel on either. Just the basic hoodie.
I got the hoodie on.
All right. That works. Hey, it's great to have you with us, wherever you're joining us from in Wisconsin, as we are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing at WGBW. Really fun show tonight. We got some great guests, as usual. Rob Thomas will join us at 6:35. Rob writes for the CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor, and he is just a phenomenal TV and movie critic. So Rob will be here. We'll talk about the Oscars. He also wrote a recent piece for CityCast Madison about the comedy scene in Madison. We'll talk a little bit about that and the legacy of David Lynch. And always fun to talk to Rob. And I know he's seen stuff I have not seen, so we will ask him what we should be going to see in the theaters as well. And then at 7:20, this is kind of exciting. One of the first comedians I saw in Chicago when I started, I was still in college. I went to check out a show at Zany's Comedy Club downtown. And Skip Kiparis was the headliner that night. And Skip is on the show tonight. Also, that's not just why we had him on, but he is the, color commentator in Major League?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he sits opposite Bob Uecker throughout the Major League films. And Bob does play-by-play, as you know, in the movie, if you've seen it. And Skip Kiparis is the color commentator who does not say much as a color commentator. But Skip was very funny in the movie. We'll talk to Skip about his experience working next to the great Bob Uecker, who just passed away last week. We'll talk to Skip about comedy. He also used to tour with Olivia Newton-John, which I think is really cool. Like, Skip has been around a while, so I'm excited to reconnect with him and have him on the show. That's tonight at 7:20. Lots going on. New Wisco Weekend is right around the corner. Did you do something this week, Conrad?
Yeah, I actually asked our pal, who's been on the show, Mike Kauf, to join, to talk about comedy sports.
Comedy sports. I see what you did there. Because you do sports for comedy. That's sports. Comedy is a sports. Sports are entertainment. It all goes hand in hand. How was Mike? He's probably a really good interview. He's
great,
fun.
Great interview. And just the answers he has, you can just tell how much he loves comedy sports.
Yeah.
And what it means to him. It's a good little segment if you want to listen to it.
This is kind of fun. The movie I chose this week for New Wisco Weekend for the classic movie pick of the week was Hoosiers, one of my all-time favorites. And when a film is done so perfectly, like in terms of direction, cast, music, cinematography, you don't even care that it's slightly hokey or corny at times. And I feel like Hoosiers has a hint of that, as does the film Remember the Titans. But they're still great because all the other elements are there. I made that my classic movie pick of the week. And it got me thinking for tonight that I wanted to have a little discussion about underdogs. So with that as my segue, let's get into the question of the night, shall we?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is your favorite underdog? And we can open this up. I'm thinking movies and TV, underdogs. But if there's someone in life that you think is worthy of a mention for the answer to our question of the night, that's fine too. Who is your favorite underdog? We've done underdog movies, and it's okay if you want to go to the well and pull out a Rocky or an Aaron Brockovich or Hoosiers or like an ensemble cast of Remember the Titans. Karate Kid is another great one. There are so many movies with great underdogs. There's even a movie called Underdogs. Rudy is another one. And interestingly enough, the filmmakers behind Hoosiers are the same team behind Rudy. So who is your favorite underdog? And if you say underdog, that's fine. But I wouldn't really count the actual underdog as an underdog. So let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app. If you don't have the Civic Media app, I highly recommend it. It's very easy to use, and you could just click the little text button next to whatever station you're listening on and shoot us your thoughts on the question of the night or whatever we're talking about tonight. It's always great when you guys are more part of the show and join the fun. So who is your favorite underdog? You've seen Hoosiers, right, Conrad?
I was actually going to ask you, when you played basketball in high school, right?
I did.
Did you actually watch that with your basketball team?
No. I never did.
Yeah, we actually, like, one day, you know, we just went into a classroom or whatever, and we all watched the movie.
Really?
Yeah,
like, with the blessing of the teacher?
Well, no, it was after school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when I played varsity, it was just like, I think it was like the second week or something. We just went in there and watched it, and it was awesome.
We did that. We watched, what did we watch? For intramural football. When I was at DePaul University, I think we watched Rocky, and we're like, we're going to go out and destroy these guys. It was flag football intramurals. None of us, we were all mediocre athletes, you know, and we get out there and we just got spanked. So like you lead the charge out of the dorm, or in your case, the classroom, and you're so fired up, and then your hopes and dreams are immediately squashed.
You know what?
Did you guys win?
No, it was just a practice, you know, after practice.
I gotcha. Right? Okay.
You know what I'm so mad at UW-Milwaukee for? They didn't have a flag football team until I graduated.
Of course.
I said that to all my friends. We're like, oh, we would have been the best.
Yeah, sure you would. Flag football, like, does that almost seem as dangerous as tackle in a way? Like, you're leaning in with your bare head to grab a flag. I bet there are just as many collisions in flag football as there are. And like, really serious head-to-head contact, actual head-to-actual actual head.
Yeah, I remember we played flag football in gym class in high school, and one guy just didn't like me, and he actually—
Get out of here.
Completely ripped off, like, my shirt. It tore.
Wait, why?
And I just got it.
Why didn't he like you?
I don't know. We just didn't get along.
I almost did a Mrs. Seinfeld there and said, how can anyone not like you? So that's our question, folks. Get in on the fun. Let us know who your favorite underdog is. It could be from movies or TV or in life, whatever. We'll read your answers on the radio. Conrad, how can people watch the radio if they're so inclined? Oh, he's on the phone. Conrad's taking calls. He's making calls. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is exciting. Helping Us Light the Night is a new sponsor. And what better way, or who better to help light the night than a cigar company? Appleton Cigar on College Avenue has been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado, or if you're just starting out, go there for some guidance. If you're looking for a one-of-a-kind experience, you need to check out Appleton Cigar, which boasts the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee, with over 700 cigars to choose from and a walk-in humidor. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar for the full experience. Come to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Avenue, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com. That's interesting. When Norm was here, we'll have to have Norm on again soon. Very excited to have him and Appleton Cigar as a company. But what, I would love to know what cocktail goes with a cigar. To me, it would be whiskey. Like, whiskey and a cigar would be dynamite. But I bet there's a lot of different, you know, some people might want like an old fashioned. Like, But it seems like the darker alcohol would go better with a cigar. That's a question for Norm. Conrad, take a memo. We got to ask Norm that question next time.
Sounds good.
There's a new Mark Wahlberg movie coming out.
I saw the trailer for that, and I don't know why, it kind of scared me.
Like, because it's going to be bad?
Because I've never seen Mark Wahlberg like that in a movie. It's just kind of funny to me.
It is kind of weird. The guy gets up at 3 a.m. to work out. He's a workout maniac. Frankly, and I almost made this our question tonight, I don't ever need to see Mark Wahlberg in a movie again. And it's nothing against him. He's fine. But his movies tend to all be 2 to 2.5-star films. He's a fine actor. It's not like I'm disappointed. But man, unless he does something differently, I just don't think I need to see him in a movie anymore.
I absolutely love Daddy's Home with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, okay. See, he has comedy chops.
Those movies are hilarious.
Is that when Eva Mendes comes in and Mark Wahlberg doesn't believe that she's married to Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Who is that? That's my wife. No, seriously. Yeah, that's a different kind of movie. I guess I'm talking about in this genre of action.
Yeah.
And like, okay, you're bald. Is that enough of an acting leap? And it's directed by Mel Gibson, who is an absolute lunatic. So,
oh, wow. I didn't even know
that. Yeah,
him.
I didn't know that until yesterday. Maybe it's good. Mel Gibson is capable of making a really good movie. But mostly as an actor, I can't think of... I'll have to Google the movies he's directed because none of them come to mind. I can't remember if he directed Braveheart or not. I think he did. And I'm under strict orders not to. I have this, you see this little guy right here? It's like a Vicks Vapor Rub stick.
Okay.
So my nose, it's so damn dry in Northeast Wisconsin. I got humidifiers running around the clock.
Yes.
My nose still feels like it's on fire if I even move a little. So I have this little Vicks Vapor Rub stick, and you stick it in your nose. And my wife saw me doing it on the stream last night. She goes, don't do that. It looks really weird. I didn't even realize. That's how at home I feel here on Nightlight. I feel like people aren't going to judge me. But I'll try to be aware of that because that might look weird. We've got a lot to talk about. Rob Thomas is here at 6:35. We're going to talk about comedy in Madison, David Lynch's legacy. We'll talk about award predictions. I want to see who Rob, if he has any predictions for Oscar nominations, which come out on Thursday. It'll be good to talk to Rob about that, as well as what he's seen. And then Skip Kiparis, he was in the booth with Bob Uecker during Major Leagues 1, 2, and I think 3. We'll talk to Skip. He's a very funny comedian, too. So we'll talk to Skip at 7:20. In the meantime, our question of the night, who's your favorite underdog? 855-752. What's the rest of our number? I'm totally blanking.
4-2-4-4-5-4-2.
I have it, but I don't want to look. I don't want to look. 4-8-4-2. Damn. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know who your favorite underdog is, and let's do Wednesday like it deserves to be done. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. It's a Wednesday night edition of Nightlight, kind of a fun midweek thing we do here every Wednesday, helping us get through the weekend, ending the day talking about things that are not stressful. Things that we just want to talk about that make us feel good. No politics, no work. We're not talking about sex. Conrad, we haven't talked about sex in a long time on this show.
We haven't,
I feel like
yeah.
We're due for a sex episode, and I think people need to hear it. Let's think about that and think of how we can do that in a fun, innocent way. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, who is your favorite underdog? It could be from movies, TV, real life, whatever. Let us know who your favorite underdog is. A friend of mine texted me, Dave, who does not ever text the show, and said, Jean Valjean from Les Mis. That is a great underdog and a great character I never would have thought of. So thank you, Dave. Text the damn show, though, will you? It's more fun. We have a caller, Conrad?
Yes, we do.
Who do we have?
We got Dick from Lodi.
Dick from Lodi. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dick, how's it going?
It's going all right. How are you, Pete?
Doing very well. Thanks for the call. What's good on your mind, buddy?
Well, I was under the assumption that it had to be from a movie, so I guess that may have skewed my my thinking here, but how about the Warriors?
Oh, I mean, yes,
serious underdogs and under extreme risk of certain dismemberment or death, and I don't know.
That is a great answer, and I wouldn't have thought of that either. The Warriors, for those of you who don't know, it's a great film from the late 70s. All the gangs of New York come together and have a big rally, I think in Central Park. And they say, we outnumber the cops like 8-1, whatever it was. And they decide that they're going to take over the city. But the leader, I think, Dick, correct me if I'm wrong, but Cyrus gets shot. He's the one that called the meeting.
Right.
Okay, and the Warriors get blamed for it. So they have to make it back to Coney Island. And all these other gangs are after them. And they kind of have to fight their way home. It is a great movie.
Fantastic movie. And, somewhat compelling. I mean, I think we're all going to be Warriors these next 4 years.
Absolutely. You should be a Warrior anyway, Dick. I can tell you already are. You have it in your voice. Thanks so much, buddy. Have a great night.
Right on. Fight the good fight.
All right. That's Dick from Lodi. That's a great one because the Warriors, and it's so funny, like in the 70s, that was considered kind of a violent movie, but there's like maybe 3 gunshots in it. It's mostly old school gang, baseball bats, a pipe. They all have their costumes, but there are some phenomenal scenes in the Warriors, and that is a really good answer. Thank you, Dick, for the phone call. Phone lines are open too, folks. Conrad, I always say text us, but you're welcome to call us as well, and we can have a little chat over what I like to call the telephone. Anna from Madison checks in and says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Okay, she said ND.
Notre Dame Conrad.
Like Conrad, yeah. But I think it was just a typo. Anna says, my favorite underdog in film is Sally Field in Norma Rae. Yes. Another great underdog. That movie was about the creation of a union led by Norma Rae, played by Sally Field. I have not seen it in years. I don't fully remember it, but I remember it because it was a great film. I believe Oscar nominated too. Great answer, Anna. Thank you. Chris, this is our buddy Chris Casper. The Minnesota Vikings are my favorite underdogs. I'm a glutton for punishment. There is always next year. You know, Chris, as a Bear fan, I sympathize with you. However, your Vikings, buddy, you were surprised too, Conrad. They were supposed to go farther this year. I thought the Vikings were going to regroup from that Detroit loss.
Total collapse.
I love their coach. They got good personnel. Yeah, they got a great defensive coordinator. That was a shocker. Thanks, though, Chris. And better luck next year. There's always next year. Nick from Marshall says, hey, Pete and Conrad, one of my favorite underdog movies is... Oh, is this like an anime? Help me, Conrad.
Shadas?
With Kai Manny Marley. Spraga Benz and Wycliffe Jean. I know Wycliffe Jean. Snowing here in Marshall. What about Green Bay? We do not have snow, but it looks weird. It looks like we're primed for snow.
Yeah, it's dreary, Nick, out there. It just doesn't look right.
It really does not. And I'm sorry I didn't know the pronunciations of some of your underdogs there, but I do appreciate your contribution to the show. Have a great night, Nick. Sherry from Horicon says, hi, Pete and Conrad, with her usual lovely emojis. Hello, Sherry. Great to have you with us tonight. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Leon, the first replicant Decker, retires in the movie Blade Runner. Oh, wow. That's for the underdog, I guess. God, I forgot. I got to see that movie again, too. I've seen the original Blade Runner and the remake, but I'm due probably for a rewatch on both. Thank you, Tyler, for being part of the show. Jim in Brookfield. Steve in Florida. He's in the 920, even though he's in Florida. Steve says, the perfect prison underdog, Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. Epic scene when the corrupt warden ripping off the poster and finding the tunnel that Dufresne dug to get out for his freedom. Greatest escape ever. That was phenomenal, Steve. And I'll tell you what, I want to say another underdog I had on my list was Forrest Gump. Fictional character, like most of these are. But those two, if I remember correctly, were both up for Best Picture in the same year. And I remember being kind of mad that Forrest Gump won because it was so cartoony and kind of, aw shucks. I don't know. I just liked Shawshank Redemption a lot better. And I could be wrong on that. I'm just going from memory, but I think it was 1994. And I loved Shawshank Redemption. The movie absolutely blew me away. Great text. Thank you, Steve. Jim from Appleton says, here's a different underdog lawnmower, man. Jim scores again. I know it's a horror film.
I've never seen it.
Let's go to the Google. Let's find it.
Sure.
We owe it to Jim. But anyway, that's the question. Who's your favorite underdog? You got other ones too. Another friend of mine texted, said Homer Hickam from October Sky. I remember that film. That's when Jake Gyllenhaal says, I want to go into space. But I can't remember if he was an underdog or not. How about Cameron Fry from Ferris Bueller? He's kind of a sidekick that gets roped into stuff. He's not very confident, you know? I don't know who else. Pete Parker?
I got two, okay?
Yeah, you didn't even go yet.
Dodgeball?
The whole movie? Just the team?
Average Joe's, obviously.
Average Joe's, okay.
And in real life, the 2010 Packers.
They were underdogs for sure. That nobody expected them to win that year, right? They were like kind of came out of, they like just hit their stride at the right time.
Yep.
I'm sure Chris Casper loved hearing that. Lawnmower Man, here you go. I'll read that about that during the break. All right, Rob Thomas is coming up next, folks. We're going to talk Oscar nominations that come out Thursday. We'll get Rob's predictions, talk to him about the Madison comedy scene, movies, David Lynch, everything. You've got it all here on Nightlight. Skip Kiparis from the movie Major League coming up at 7:20. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Conrad's mom checks in. My mama says her favorite underdog is Rudy. He has the want and will to go after what he wants. Sounds like you had some big shoes to fill in your house, Conrad.
I can't fill Rudy's shoes.
Compared to Rudy growing up. Mom, it's a movie. And then Nick from Marshall clarified. He says, Shottis, I hope I'm saying that right, is a Jamaican gangster movie that came out in 2002, I believe, and was filmed in Miami and Jamaica. Kaimani is one of Bob Marley's 12 children. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Nick, for clarifying that. And sorry I hacked through your initial text. I really have never heard of that movie, though. But that's good to add to the list. Thank you. Who is your favorite underdog? That is our question tonight. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app. Text us on the stream. Just text us, folks, and be part of the show. It is my pleasure now to welcome one of our favorite frequent flyer guests here at Nightlight. He is a film and TV critic based in Madison, Wisconsin. You can check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas on Substack. And he is also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. And he joins us now on the stream. Rob Thomas. Rob, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well. Did I get there? It's Not That Rob Thomas, the Substack.
Correct.
Not Rob. Rob. Yes. 77 is Twitter. Follow Rob on Twitter, too. He's a good follower.
That's right. Although I kind of left Twitter a while ago. Now on Blue Sky and, you know, who knows. Eventually you circle around, you end up on MySpace again. That's how it works. But
I just set up a Friendster account, so
yeah,
it's all coming back. You know, I'm with you about Twitter. I just, there's only so many times I can read people who just use an avatar and don't use their real names that are just dropping nonsense all the time. And anger, I can't do it. And I hope Blue Sky doesn't become that. So far, so good. But we'll see.
I think in general, I'm trying to step back somewhat from social media. I think it does, even the good, in a positive sense, it wires your brain in a not that healthy way.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son has tried to give up social media several times and he actually goes through withdrawal. And because, you know, you get so used to scrolling and looking at reels and all that kind of stuff, it becomes part of your day. But all the more power to people who can give it up. I don't think I can, frankly.
I try and do a Saturday sabbatical where I don't go on social media.
Oh, that's
I'm not often successful, but at least I'm like thinking about it that day. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a good way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, you're always full of great suggestions when you drop by Nightlight. I love that.
So once.
Hey, you wrote a great article about comedy in Madison. Can we talk about that before we jump into the movie stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it just struck me. We interviewed this great Madison comedian about his show in Nate Chappell about his show in Madison. He was recently diagnosed with autism.
Wow.
And he went on our podcast, the CityCast Madison podcast, which is kind of the companion to the newsletter, and talked about it. And he was putting on a show with all comedians diagnosed with autism to raise money for awareness. And it just struck me, like, we get a lot of great big name comics coming through Madison, like Brian Regan's coming Friday night.
He's great.
Patton Oswalt's coming to the Comedy Club here next month. That's all sold out. But I wanted to shine a spotlight on all the cool, interesting local comics. Like, we have a great open mic night at the Comedy Club on State. Madison has a great tradition of improv comedy, like Comedy Sports. And then, as everybody knows, Chris Farley came up on the Madison improv scene. So, yeah, I wrote something just kind of showing a spotlight on kind of the interesting things that a lot of the local comedians here are doing.
It's interesting. My friend Matt Besser, who ended up being one of the Upright Citizens for the Upright Citizens Brigade, he started I don't know if he started Madison, because I think he was originally from Chicago, but there was a guy named David Gray, and the two of them came to Chicago from Madison, and they were both really funny guys. David Gray has since passed away, but Matt went on to have really big success with the Upright Citizens. Is Madison a great comedy town, Rob? How do you rank it, like, to Milwaukee? Or even Chicago, for that matter. Obviously, it's not as big as those places, but it does have a good comedy structure, don't you think?
I think, and what you hear from touring comedians is they love playing Madison because they are the audiences are smarter and they're more willing to be forgiving and hear out different kinds of comedy, different styles. So, I think that's why, like I said, Patton Oswalt would play theaters here, like the Orpheum. And now I think he likes playing the club because he knows he can get a really good audience. People are always testing out material here or filming their specials here.
Yeah.
So it's just, I feel like we're really lucky that Madison's got kind of a reputation as a good town for comedy, both the quality of the audiences and the quality of the local comics here.
Everyone I know back in the 90s when I did stand up loved to work Madison and Milwaukee, for that matter. There was a great club in Milwaukee, but Madison too. This is before Comedy on State. They were just about a block closer to the Capitol, and it was different owners.
Right.
But that club has such a good reputation, Comedy on State. I know that my son went up there and did an open mic once and felt like Richard Pryor. And then he goes to these other open mics and he goes, oh man, Comedy on State really spoils you. Like, the audiences there are just good. They're polite. They're attentive.
They're supportive. Yeah. They want you to do well. Yeah.
And that's half the battle. I mean, that's so great. And it's so cool that all autistic comedians, I should have Nate on the show. I didn't even know there were.
You should.
I mean, that fascinates me. I didn't even know there were that many comedians that had autism that were out there touring.
Right. And this is all locals in Madison.
Jeez.
Who he knew. So yeah, you should definitely have Nate on. He's a really funny and interesting guy and does a lot of different, very cool shows here in town.
Yeah. Good to know. You wrote about a place called Comedy at the Cabaret. That sounded kind of cool. And Jake Snell has been on the show. Very funny. Where is that? I'm having trouble.
That's North Street Cabaret, which is, I think, known more as like a jazz club, acoustic music club, that sort of thing. But they also do comedy. And of course they have, I think Jake does, plays music in between sets or something like that.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's also the really cool thing is like, Comedy Club on State is great, but you can find comedy. All these places, like there's a place called Crucible in Madison, which is known for like, dance parties and raves and all kinds of, you know, alternative stuff, but then they also have comedy shows that they put on there. They do sort of a, it's like a Mystery Science Theater kind of thing called Schlock and Awe, where you, they play a bad movie and you, and the comedians have mics and talk, you know, quip their way through it. So,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw this improv too, which Comedy Sports was born in, you mentioned Comedy Sports. I don't know if they do that at Atlas Improv, but that's a fun show too. And a very different take on improv.
Yeah. And there's different ones. Like there's, I think the two in town are Atlas and Monkey Business, and I've seen Monkey Business again in the basement of a pizza parlor.
Yeah.
And they do like a kid friendly show and early, and then a more grown up show late. And some do, like, you know, they do the improv games like Comedy Sports used to do. Others do more long form,
yeah,
type thing. I mean, you know, from working in Chicago, which is really the birthplace of a lot of that.
Right.
So I'll just say I saw Matt Besser in like 1991 in Chicago.
Oh, really?
I can't remember his group. I think it's Neo Futurist, maybe. But like, yeah, it was the funniest, wildest show I've ever seen, and it ended with the four actors on outside the club on four corners of like Division. I can't remember the cross street, and they were like each doing, they were doing like a Thanksgiving dinner sketch, but they were all like traffic was going in between them, and they'd throw like rolls at each other. It was the funniest. Like, that was when I first came to Chicago. I was like, this is a wild town. This is the big city.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was so fun.
That's great. I remember Besser. He would go on stage and just, he did not care at all what the audience thought of him. But the comics in the back of the room were cracking up. He went off on a conversation that obviously really happened with a teacher at some point in his life. And he ended up yelling, and I say an avocado is a vegetable at the top of his lungs. And the crowd is like, what is this guy's deal? You know, like, another thing Matt did, we were out at one of those, I don't know, some diner after shows, 2 o'clock in the morning, hanging out. And there's these four cops sitting in a booth close by. And Besser walks over and starts doing comedy and improv to the cops, and the cops are just looking at him like, do we run this guy in? He's obviously hammered or something, or do we just enjoy? And they ended up just kind of laughing, and one of my friends said, nicely done, Matt, and he walks over and sits. But a really, really funny guy. I don't see him as much. I haven't seen him in quite a while too, though. But is he from Madison, do you know, Rob?
I don't think so. Okay. I think he's from Arkansas, and I don't I know he was in Chicago. I'm not sure if he was up in Madison. I probably played Madison for sure.
Yeah,
if he was in Chicago, but I think Arkansas is where he's from.
Interesting. Well, let's go to I want to talk Oscar nominations our Thursday. I want to see what you think and what your predictions are, but can we start with David Lynch? He passed away last week. How do you define his legacy, and what are your thoughts on him and his career?
Well, it's so interesting because, I mean, he was an absolute American original, and I think made movies like nobody else. I think there are definitely some filmmakers now that are inspired by him, but, you know, don't go as far as he did, certainly. And, but then also, you also get the sense he was a very sweet guy. Like, he was very loyal to his friends. He used to do those weather reports during the pandemic. I don't know if you saw those, where he just kind of like, you know, give the weather. I mean, he was sort of kind of had a corniness to him in a way, even though he was so avant-garde as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Madison connection, of course, was he directed this movie, The Straight Story, which was co-written by a Madison writer, John Roach. And it's like the most normal G-rated movie ever made. And it's very sweet, but it's so different from Blue Velvet or Mulholland Drive or anything like that.
Did he live? There were all these rumors that David Lynch lived in Madison because he dated a girl there or something like that. But did he, or was that because of The Straight Story? Or
I think it was. I think that's how he got into the orbit of the writers of The Straight Story. I think it's Mary Sweeney co-wrote it, and that was the woman he was living with at the time. This was maybe the 90s. He exhibited work, some of it at a couple of local galleries. So he definitely had a presence here for years there.
It just seems like a great David Lynch town. Like, it seems like he would like it and they would like him. You know, I think that's, do you have a favorite Lynch movie, Rob?
Well, Mulholland Drive is my absolute favorite. I mean, I vividly remember watching that in the theater and just being like, blown away, like where is this going? It's funny, it's terrifying, it's strange, it's moving. I felt like at the end, like I kind of understood it, but I, you know, but sort of right. this dreamlike thing going on. And yeah, it was kind of a, I mean, so the other memorable David Lynch screening for me was, and he didn't make a lot of movies. Like his last movie was in 2006. It's called Inland Empire. Very strange movie with Laura Dern. And they screened it for me because I was a critic at the Orpheum. And I was all by myself in a theater that can hold 1,600 watching this David Lynch movie by myself. And at one point, the film broke in the middle and started like bubbling and stuff. And I thought that was part of the movie. I thought that was just supposed to happen. So, yeah, I mean, there just won't be anybody like him ever again. I mean,
yeah. Here's my dilemma. I saw a lot of his stuff when I was younger, and I think I'd have a better appreciation for it now. And I think I saw it because I felt I should.
Sure.
I don't know if you remember the Fine Arts Theater in Chicago. It was down on South Michigan Avenue across from Grant Park. Yeah. And I remember being at DePaul, and I'm like, I'm going to go see this movie because Dennis Hopper was in it. And I took the L down and I sat there by myself, used to watching movies like Ghostbusters and whatever. And I'm watching Blue Velvet going, what the hell is this movie? But I liked it. And then I started watching more David Lynch films, but I have to go back and give them a rewatch because I saw Mulholland Drive. I saw Wild at Heart, Lost Highway. I never saw Eraserhead, which I guess put him on the map though.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Let's come back and pick it up there, and we can then transition into movies and the Oscars. Rob Thomas is here, folks. He's the Madison film and TV critic that we love to have on Nightlight. We'll be right back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, she pressed her chest against me about the time the jukebox broke. Yeah, she gave me a peck on the back of the neck. And these are the words she spoke. Blow up your TV.
Craig checks in on the stream and says, Pete, I love Happy Gilmore as an underdog. He even gets himself's butt handed to him by Bob Barker. I think it's Sandler's best crafted comedy. I think Conrad would agree with you, Craig.
Yeah, definitely.
So, great one. Cam from Appleton says Joe Biden. You could argue that. Sure. I remember there was a comedian in Chicago when Biden was accused of plagiarism. This is like in the early 90s or late 80s, he turns to me and he says, I still think that guy's going to be president one day. And I was like, wow, whatever, dude. Every once in a while, I thought of that when Joe Biden was president. It was crazy. From the 608, Larry in Deerfield says, underdog, Rocky Balboa in the first Rocky. It hasn't been mentioned yet. Great one, Larry. And I can't believe it hasn't been mentioned yet. And what I loved about Rocky was he was an underdog. But like, whereas in Hoosiers and Remember the Titans, and I guess they're based on true stories, they actually won. I love that Rocky just wanted to go the distance. That, to me, is the charm of that movie. And that's the win. Great text. Thanks, Larry. Rob Thomas is on the stream with us right now. We're talking about David Lynch, and we'll get into the Oscars a little bit as the nominations will be announced tomorrow. Rob, here's a David Lynch film I forget about, and I think this is actually the first one I saw that he did. It's not Blue Velvet. It was The Elephant Man. That was such a horrifying, sad film that stayed with me for so long after I saw it.
Yeah. And was sort of, I think, for him, a very pretty traditional film. Like, it was a big Oscar contender in a way. His movies afterwards weren't really great. You know, John Hurt played, Merrick, William Merrick. I'm trying to remember his first
John,
name.
And John Merrick.
Thank you. Got it. Yeah. And just Anthony Hopkins, and just a very black and white, austere, sad, straightforward movie that he almost never made ever again.
Yeah, it was something else. And I think that's why I was so shocked by Blue Velvet, because The Elephant Man, as emotional as it was and as heavy as it was, it was not Blue Velvet or Lost Highway or, you know. Rob, what are your thoughts on Twin Peaks?
I love Twin Peaks. I've not seen that new version that was on Showtime. I've always wanted to catch up with it. I hear it's really interesting. But I was in college senior year when Twin Peaks started in 1990. And like, I remember like Sunday night, I think it was like, we'd all gather around the TV.
Yeah.
I think it was 8 o'clock, and probably, I think we watched The Simpsons and then maybe something else. And then, and like, you could hear a pin drop in that, you know, a pretty normally rowdy college house as the 8 or 9 of us were watching every second of Twin Peaks, trying to figure out what was going on, trying to solve the mystery, trying to figure out, you know, and then discussing it afterwards. It was sort of like a precursor to, like, you know, internet culture now, when people
yeah.
talk about stuff, you know, recap and all that stuff. And of course, the second season was not as successful. They didn't really know kind of what, you know, I think they had to fill like 22 episodes, and the
right.
first season was only 8, and it kind of went in some weird directions. But I'll always remember that first 8 episode seasons being like one of the greatest like TV watching experiences I've ever had.
It's so funny. I remember when, you're right, that was the internet before there was the internet. You would sit around, have a beer, and talk about something cool you saw. And I remember when
right.
all this started with the networks, and they would say, go over to Sony.com and discuss this show with other fans. I'm like, who's doing that? That's never going to catch on. No one's going to talk about stuff with strangers, and now it's all people do.
That's right.
So here's the thing. I always feel weird when I don't watch something that when it first came out. And that's kind of how it was with Twin Peaks. I remember seeing bits of it, but I watched it a week ago or right after Lynch died. And obviously it seems dated, but God, he just, his shots, Rob, you could tell. I wonder how long his shoots were, because he was so meticulous and his shots were set up so beautifully, even the most basic shot. And the music that accompanied it was so incredible. So I'm working my way through Twin Peaks right now and getting past all that, because it's just great storytelling and it's great cinema.
Yeah. And then it's interesting because he made a movie, Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, a few years after.
Yeah.
Super dark movie. In some ways, I think kind of repudiated a lot. I don't know. I think he was not comfortable with the amount of fan adulation of Twin Peaks. He kind of pushed against that, I think. And then that new Showtime series really does, I think. It's kind of like just the whole idea of like, you know, being so in love with the show like that. So it's really interesting. Like, he was always, you never rested on his laurels. He was always pushing himself.
Yeah. We've got about a minute before we go to a break, Rob. I want to ask you about the room next door that you wrote about this in your Substack. Rob Thomas is my guest. He is a Madison-based film and TV critic. At 7:05, the radio portion of the show is going to switch over to the State of the State address. So those of you who are listening on the radio, if you want to hear more of my conversation with Rob and then with Skip Kirparis at 7:20, switch over to the stream, and you can follow Nightlight there. We'll keep going. Rob, was that a good movie, The Room Next Door?
Yeah. So Pedro Almodovar, a Spanish director, his first English language feature film. He's made a couple of shorts, but with, Julianne Moore and Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that. Yeah. It took a little getting used to the English, but it's a really well acted and powerful movie.
Very cool. All right. We're going to do a break real quickly. Is that going to go wide or is that a limited release?
It really depends probably on the Oscars tomorrow. I assume it'll get something, and that will probably push it. Yeah, but it just started opening.
Gotcha. All right, speaking of Oscars, Rob and I will jump into that when we come back. I want to hear who Rob thinks will be nominated, and we'll see what else he's watching. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Switch over to the stream if you want to continue tuning in and being part of the show. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just want to close your eyes.
The national news cycle never stops, but
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.